podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Since Channel 7 uploaded this vision, it's had 30 million views.
Hilarious.
And it's gone viral online. Of course, we're talking about the iconic Bar 20 moment in which two mates went there and acting like complete turds to some of the people in there that were working in there, wait staff and other people
behind
here as well,
behind the bar.
So security kicked them out.
Yeah.
Mate number one was trying to get back in. Mate number two thought, oh, no, what I'll do, I'll go next door to a restaurant, grab a chair from the restaurant and throw it at security. That'll show him.
Yeah.
But as he threw the chair and he watched it in slow-mo, I can only assume, go in the wrong direction and scone his mate.
And bang! just drops him.
Just drops him.
And then he gets back up. He's okay.
He's fine.
It's a plastic chair.
He's fine. Still, you don't want to catch one of those.
I know.
But security were laughing because obviously the chair was meant for them.
Yeah.
Right? So we've only had the one piece of vision on this.
One camera angle.
One camera angle. And then the angle of the mate who was at the restaurant, their footage, and the mate finding out that he sconed his friend with the chair and put his hands up on his face like, oh no. God.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the only angles that we've had, right? But now a new one's been unlocked. And here's Channel 7 explaining it.
You know what's about to happen? Bang! A chair right on the head. It shows a female worker's reaction as a patron is hit and goes down. A moment so many people have seen. The chair itself is now famous. Bar 20 has it at times on duty outside in uniform as security.
Amazing.
And inside, on stage, the chair's legs in high heels.
So if you see, I've chucked this video up on our socials, the chair, they've got a security t-shirt around it and a lanyard and it's sitting out the front. And then they've got it on stage with every one of its legs in high heels.
High heels,
Well done for leaning into it,
Living
Bar 20.
Life.
Just
brilliant.
Keep it going.
Well handled.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Every so often, I will stumble upon some piece of information that pertains to an industry that the general public interacts with.
Mm.
And I just go, what? That's... And then I just think, well, I've got... The people need to know.
Yeah.
I've got a platform.
Yeah.
I need to share it with the people.
Mm.
And
we appreciate
them.
That.
Like, I'm looking out for you. That's what I'm looking out for you.
It's whistleblowing, almost.
It is. It's what's the guy from the X-Files?
Mulder?
No, the one, the mysterious guy. Marlboro Man or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that.
Have said Marlboro.
No.
Damn,
it's hard to say too.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway.
Marlboro.
Sorry. Keep saying
No, but it feels weird when I say it.
Marlboro. For good reason. So,
Got no tongue.
Previously, I brought to the table... If you want to do like a nice birthday card for someone, go and get a message from one of the expensive cards that are like $13 or whatever.
Yeah.
Take a photo of the inside of it.
Yes.
Right. And then go and buy a $2 card.
Yeah.
Write the message in it by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You get best of both worlds.
You know what? I didn't think that you really thought about the creative writing industry. The CWI.
Do you know who I'm worried about? I'm worried about the everyday sucker who has to pay $13 for a gift card, like a birthday card.
Yeah. That is. What's going on there?
That's wild. It's wild.
That is wild. It's a piece of paper.
Exactly. So then I realised that when you go to the shops and you buy, you know, olives and you buy anchovies and you buy pineapple, they're all different prices, yeah?
Yeah.
But then when you go to a pizza restaurant, and you add pineapple or you add olives or you add anchovies to your pizza, it's charging you the same.
So are we just going back through?
No, I'm bringing
all
people up to speed.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you're just rehashing the same
stuff.
We don't do that on the show.
I want to build the rage. Okay. People are outraged about both of those situations.
Oh, okay.
So I've found the solution.
Yeah.
Here's the new one and I don't know how to fix it. But I want you to know about it.
Okay.
Right? I want to talk about blueberries.
Every time you mention them, I just think of your dirty fingers going in there We highlighted this a couple of years ago. You say that you open up the little tray and you take a little bite, and if that blueberry is to your taste, you'll buy them. Otherwise, you'll put them down and go for another one. Disgusting behaviour.
Sometimes, because sometimes
the whole punnet... It's hard to be friends with you after that,
sometimes,
honestly.
No, because you do it with grapes.
No, you... Anyway, let's not get bogged down.
Sometimes... So I have been known to do that because in the past... Sometimes the batch of blueberries is no good.
It's a risk of life.
It's $4.50 a punnet.
Then don't. You can't go fingering all the berries.
I'm not fingering the berries.
You are, and it's disgusting.
I am trying a berry to understand whether I want to purchase said berries in a larger capacity.
Why don't you just open the box of taco shells then?
Because I know taco shells.
No.
You're never getting sour taco shells, mate.
No, but the ones you might get broken.
Well, I'll take them back.
Well, continue. Go on. What's with the blueberries?
So sometimes the blueberries are bad, you know, and the batch is bad. And this is and I used to cover myself by doing that. This no longer works because...
Health and safety?
I think the blueberry industry has cottoned on to me and people like me who will sample the blueberries before buying.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're mixing them. They know. They know when the blueberries are sour.
I love sour blueberries. So they're the ones I want. I don't want the soft ones.
What is wrong with you? I like sour blueberries, she says. I don't
like the soft ones.
No, it doesn't have to be. It's not about texture.
No, I know, but they're...
It's about taste.
No. I like them when you bite them. You're like, woo! Yes.
So you want
to take down the blueberry industry.
Yeah, so
you
want to
take down Australian farmers. Is that what you're saying?
Just the blueberry ones.
Are you sure?
Because I reckon they're having a laugh, right?
Dad's calling me right now.
He doesn't grow blueberries. I know he's not a blueberry guy. Yeah. But I think they're taking the pee because I think now they know when the blueberries are bad. They know they've got the sour ones and then they know they've got the sweet good ones, yeah?
Yeah.
So instead of just sending them out in a full punnet of sour or a full punnet of good, they're mixing them.
Right.
They're mixing them.
Okay.
Because I've been buying blueberries lately and I've then been trying them to make sure the girls will eat them. They're good, right? But then I send them for school. And then they come back home and go, well, what's wrong with the blueberries, baby? And they're like, no, they taste a bit tangy, a bit sour for me. Okay, all right. And then I try them and they're sour, but they're from the same punnet.
Mate.
They have two massive containers, I'm sure. One of the bad and one of the good. And they're filtering them all into the one punnet.
No.
So that you, even when I try them in the supermarket, they're stitching me up.
The call is coming from inside the house. Your mates with their dirty fingers are going in there and being like, oh, I'll grab a handful of these. Meh, meh, meh. Nah, don't like them. Put them in the wrong container.
No, it's too much work. No, it's the farmers.
It's your people. It's not.
They are mixing the bad gear with the good gear, so we think it's all good gear until we get it home and then it's bad gear. You make someone sick. You make me sick.
Get your chin out of my face.
What about your chin?
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
You okay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, we're good.
Just names are funny, guys, specifically with the Olympics.
No!
I can't say that.
Cold sports event.
The big cold sports event.
You're the boss. You're supposed to be leading the team.
I know. I'm usually really good at it.
Oh, you're not. You're never good.
The equivalent of a swear word. Is it too late to dump?
No, don't dump. Don't.
It's too late now. It's been 10 seconds. Okay, so...
We're back. That never happened.
What?
Anyway, I want to do something live.
Yeah.
Do we have the capability for that?
We're going to give it a go.
Okay. Because sometimes this works out and sometimes it doesn't. But I've got a question for you.
All right.
As anxiety or just thinking a thing. You be the judge. Don't give me that face.
Yeah,
but sorry. No. You're the one that stopped it.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I was angry at myself. That was not good.
Oh, well, now I feel bad. Anyway.
That was worse than me saying...
What?
The O word.
The O word?
Oh, God, just move on. Don't worry about it. The cold sports word.
Oh! I was like, when did you say the O? When did you say the O word? Right.
Yeah, the big O.
Disgusting.
Five of them. Can you believe it?
Shush.
World record.
No, I don't. No, you can say really good event time. God, you're
that
bad.
Would be a really
you
good
are
time.
Bad as a boss sometimes.
I am
sorry.
Average. Usually.
In all the ways. Anyway, I've had to get a new phone because I was so angry. I know that you've heard this before, but to set the scene again, I got an iPhone 12 from my beautiful friend Hayley. Shout out to Hayley. You're a blessing, right? And this was a couple of years ago. And so got that. And then the phone's been great. Whatever, iPhone 12, it's a Pro Max, so it's a bigger screen, happy with it, whatever. Then I did the latest update at the time and the speakers stopped working. And so I took it into a reputable iPhone place and they were like, no, like there's nothing we can do. And because there's a little crack on the back of the, on the back, no, that's, and I'm like, but it was working and I'm just, I promise you, like I know people lie all the time, but look at me.
Yeah, look at my face.
Right?
Yeah.
This is so unfair. Like how odd that once I did the update, the speakers stopped working and they're like, anyway. So it's been getting progressively worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, right?
Yep.
I'm like, I need to get a new phone. Yada, yada, yada. I finally got one on Friday.
Right. Okay? Great.
I've made the purchase.
So after the show?
After the show.
Okay, because I thought I'd missed something or I knew you needed one. But yeah.
After the show, I got it and I brought it home and I set it up.
Okay.
But as you'll see, I've got my old phone.
Yeah.
Still with me because I really don't like change.
Yeah.
And I struggle with change a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, the old phone, I mean, it's semi-working, but the new phone's so pristine, I don't want to take it out into the world yet. So is that?
So you've got a new phone.
Yes.
You got it on Friday.
Yes.
And you've left it at home.
Yes.
In favour of your old busted phone. Because you're A, uncomfortable with change, and B, you don't want to damage your new phone. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Just when we'd gotten to the depths, we'd plumbed to the depths.
No, I need to, like, give it some time.
What do you mean?
No, because then you have to put in your card password and your app and it's like a whole thing. And also it's got a new charger, so I've got to get a whole new charger system.
Oh, yeah, it's not Lightning anymore. It's back to USB-C.
Yeah, right? And it's like a whole – it's just a lot of change. And so I didn't take it on the weekend because I thought, what happens on the weekend, you know, weekend liable to drop phone.
You're afraid of your new phone.
You've got
a new phone and you're afraid to use it because, do you know, the thing with all the passwords and stuff, right, the sooner you start putting them in,
the sooner they'll be in.
Is it
anxiety or is it just thinking?
Absolutely. It's absolutely anxiety and I think it's another level up again on, like, I don't know what you'd call it, but it certainly screams, I need medication. Does she need meds or just doing a thing?
I'm on them.
You be the judge. Bump up the volume.
Oh, my God. No. Don't ever do my song live again, please.
You need higher dosage.
No, I know, I know.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
This is wild, I think, anyway. And it could be, and the fact that I think it's wild could be a little reflection on where I am in life.
But okay.
Anyway, hanging out with a mate on Saturday, went over, had a barbecue, just hanging out. And he and his wife were telling me about, you know, talking about the house and I was talking about my house and stuff that you do around the house and whatnot. And they told me this story about a bookcase that they'd bought.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, no, they did.
Okay, give it to me.
Okay.
Give it to me.
So this, I won't say where they bought it from, but it's local. It's a national company, but it's local, okay. Right? And she has gone in and chosen the bookcase that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Great. They've said, you can't have it now. We don't have it in stock. But when it's in stock, we'll let you know.
Yep.
So then, like a couple of weeks later, a week later, they get a call. Hey, it's in. We've got it. We've got the one you want.
Cool.
Come and get it. So she sends him. He goes and picks up the flat pack of the bookcase. He comes home and get started on putting it together.
Bless.
And he's putting it together, and there's moving parts, and it's quite a tricky one, bit fiddly, but he's, you know, he gets it all together. She's out for the day. Towards the end of the process, he's almost finished, and she gets home.
Mm.
And she walks in, and she looks at it and goes, "That's not what I ordered."
No. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Tell me it was still a bookcase, though.
Yeah, it was still a bookcase.
Oh, thank God. I was going to say, that is such a man thing to do, just be like, "Oh, you didn't want a boat?"
Yeah. It was definitely a bookcase, but it was like quite different from what she'd asked for.
No, and okay.
He was like, "I thought this didn't really fit with our style, like our decor and all that, but, you know, whatever, you're the boss." And so she's like, "That's not. Not only is that not what I ordered, but it's not. It's not right. We can't keep it. Oh. So we have to call them." So they called the business.
Yeah.
And the response that they got were, "You've got two choices.
Mm.
You can buy the one that you want, that you initially wanted and paid for.
Yeah.
And just get it for like $100. And you can keep the one that you've got." So effectively having then two bookcases.
Okay, yeah.
Your other option, and when they said that, I was like, "You didn't," and they didn't. And your other option is to unbuild it and reverse flat pack it. Break it down again, put it back in the box and bring it back to us. And we will then exchange it for the one that you wanted.
I feel like I would only think that would be the only option that they would do. But it was their fault initially,
yeah, exactly,
because they gave him the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So it is sort of like, what? But surely they could say, "Hey, we'll get some people to pick it up and we'll bring the new one to you because you're stuffed up.
Just take the
thing." Then just let the people that flat pack all day deal with that.
Yeah, surely you've got a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he must hate his life, but his job would be to flat pack stuff. Yeah. Or just put it on the floor, X display or something like that.
Yeah.
But no.
Oh, can you
must reverse flat pack it.
There's no way. The box is non-existent. Everything is thrown.
Right?
You've ripped screws, stuff. Nah, it's not happening.
And so I said to him, surely, so you would have paid the extra $100 and then sold...
Mm.
The one on Marketplace, the wrong one on Marketplace or something. Because I said to him, you didn't need two bookcases. You wouldn't even have space. And they're like, "No, we don't have space for two bookcases."
No. So what did they do?
He reverse flat packed it.
Oh, my God. I have to, do you know what? I mean, it's impressive.
And did all the little Allen key things.
I can't even, if you've ever tried to like refold a doona that you've got and Zalada, like the designer that, and put it back in, there's no way. Yeah. Imagine a full flat packed bookcase.
Yeah, like 2 hours of flat packing, I undid.
I'd be like, "You come pick it up."
Yeah.
I'm not dropping it off.
So we took it back and we got the right one, and then I flat packed that.
Well done.
Flat pack champion.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
You had a bit of a situation this morning on your walk in.
Yes, it was dark and it was sort of just after 5 o'clock this morning, walking up Murrumbull Street from the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And crossing Brougham Street. The lights were red for Brougham Street, so I went and proceeded to walk across it. And as I walked across and almost got to Lammy's, the guy on the other side, over the Westfield side, the first car in a row, was sick of waiting for a red light. Now, sometimes, do you know the one thing I will say is like when you go past Johnson Park, sort of around Mercer Street, mm-hmm. up to Jerringham Street, you know, there's like past the police station stuff, there's a series of traffic lights.
Yeah.
And if the second set of traffic lights goes green and your ones are red, I've seen people drive off because they think it's their lights.
Confused.
Yeah, it's confusing when there's a series of traffic. That's not the situation here.
No, this is...
I would like to think, maybe he just got confused and thought it was a green light.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
No, he went through a red light.
I'm certain, because no traffic was going up and down Murrumbull Street. It was just, and you know when you get frustrated, like happens driving from Lara all the time, you stop at the lights and for no reason you're like, "What am I doing?
Yeah,
middle
no
of the night,
here.
Why am I so?" I think that's where he was at. And then so he's just gone, "Nah, I'm not waiting for this," floored it towards me, and I've had to run onto the footpath to get out of the way.
And lucky you were sort of with it and aware of your surroundings as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you have a question. I have never done this, but you know the business because you've seen it on the back of the ute.
Yeah, on the side of the ute. It was the name of the business there, and I've Googled them, and I know where the number.
Yeah,
I know. So
you know their contact details.
So I want to know, should I call them and say, hey, whoever was driving this morning, like, not happy. That's dangerous.
But I've never done it before. I've wanted to have you. 52232955. Emma from Hamelin Heights. Have you called the number on the back of the ute or truck before?
Yes, I have called a number on the back of a ute. When I was driving from Geelong to Bannockburn, there was a ute just wandering all over the road. Yeah.
And we're not going to name any businesses on air. We'll just say.
Oh,
that.
No.
I knew.
So swerving around, was it?
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, are they asleep? Are they drunk? Like, I was genuinely concerned because it was 100.
Mm.
But they're slowing up, slowing down. I'm like, what is going on? And then I realised, like, I saw the number and I was like, bang, I'm going to call that number.
Yeah.
And it was the owner of the business, but they weren't driving the car.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, that's my apprentice. He'll be on his phone. And he said, yeah. And he said, that's it. He said, I've had so many calls like this about the way he drives.
Bad form.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Good on you, though, Emma, because you're going to save someone's life or his own life as well.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. Like, it was a 100 zone and he's going faster and slower. And I'm like, he's either drunk or asleep. But yeah, no, he was on his phone.
That's the third option. Hey, Emma, do you think I should call after the show this morning?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
All right, thank you. That's I'm going to write that down. It's an affirmative.
She's backing you.
All right, Sarah's in Highton. Morning, Sarah. Have you ever done it, mate?
Morning. Yes, I have. I was on Pakenham Street and at the pedestrian crossing near Baker's Delight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a truck went through the pedestrian crossing and there was a lady with a pram and she had to pull the pram back because he just went through it.
Oh, God.
And so I rang and it was awkward because I got the truck driver.
That's my fear. That's my greatest fear. Every time I've thought about doing it, I haven't because I don't want to get the person,
Yeah, and he didn't even apologise. He's like, oh, yeah, it happens.
It happens.
It happens, yeah. It happens until someone gets hurt and then it doesn't happen anymore because you go to jail,
yes.
Yeah? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, ring, but just be nice at the start because it could have been that.
No one likes doing front stuff, do they,
no,
Sarah?
All right, thank you, Sarah.
Front stuff is hard to do.
All right, let's wrap it up with Brad from Armstrong Creek, who we spoke to earlier. Morning, Brad.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. Are you in Melbourne yet? I know you're on your way to Melbourne. Did you get there? You got
I'm stuck in traffic on Bell Street, so yeah, I've got time.
Okay, yeah.
I was driving up Latrobe Terrace one day. I had the wife and kids in the car driving along, and there was this van driving erratically, like cutting people off and pushing them off the road, and he's trying to navigate through peak hour, and I'm like, nah, bugger it. I'm calling this company. So we jump on, we call him up, and it was the actual driver that I was talking to.
Yeah.
And he was angry.
Oh. Right.
He was angry to the point where he wanted to, he didn't know who I was, he didn't know which car I was in.
Yeah.
He wanted to road rage. So he was trying to pull more people over.
Oh, my God.
Even more erratically. That he wanted to get out and fight me.
Oh, my God.
He didn't like that I'd called up and had to go.
So, Brad, what did you do? Did you hang up and call the police or what?
Yeah, we actually did. We did. Yeah, but the thing was, this company is a reputable company in Geelong.
Yeah.
This driver, he was mad. And my wife goes, oh, do you reckon he knows it's us? I said, nah, we're on hands-free. Like, we're not holding the phone or anything.
Yeah.
And he was slowing down. He was speeding up. He was, like, looking in all the cars to see who was calling. And he wanted to get out. He wanted to fight. And I rang on private, luckily.
Yeah.
He didn't have my number.
Yeah,
he didn't call me back, but... Yeah, it got pretty rough there for a bit.
Wow, that's crazy. So did you see him look at you and you just like fresh air him, like look straight ahead, like whoa.
My wife was eyeballing him there at one point. I didn't want to look at him because I was the one talking on the phone.
Yeah.
My wife was eyeballing him, like, and she's an angry Macedonian lady. Yeah.
Love it, Brad. I am.
And have a crack here.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, yeah, I'm glad. I mean, obviously. You know, it ended safely, but far out. People are wild, aren't they? People get angry. They're having a day, and they just take it out on the road. That's crazy.
It is. We would never do that in the K-Rock car. Our own cars, maybe, but never in the K-Rock car.
Speak about fiery Macedonia.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.